Thanks for joining us this evening for Between the Notes, right here on 88.5 KRFY, that's Panhandle Community Radio. I'm your host, Susie Prez. Sit back, relax, and be inspired as you listen to this live in-studio interview and original music from singer-songwriter Justin Landis. Welcome, Justin.
Thanks, Susie.
It's really nice to have you here. You'll be sharing songwriting ideas, insights, and a window into your musical journey.
Absolutely, I will.
So just so you know, that's what we're doing here. And you're a local songwriter, musician, singer, who is originally from, as you say, suburbia. And you've landed here in beautiful North Idaho since 1991?
2001.
2001, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you've settled down with a family, but you still find time to be involved in a lot of musical projects. It seems like every time I look on stage and I hear great music, there you are. You're half of Cedar and Boyer. Mm-hmm. You're the guitar player, and your wife Jen is the bass player. Mm-hmm. You're the percussion bass player and harmony vocals in Marshall McLean Band.
Yep.
Out of Spokane. And probably anyone who asks, you'll play with them. And
hey, when I have the time, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have a full-time job.
I do.
You have a day job.
I'm definitely partial to Josh Hedlund and Harold IGA and the Shook Twins.
And Holly McGarry.
And Holly McGarry, yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited for her to be back in town.
Yeah, she's coming back in. And a few weeks, a few months ago, you played at the Live at the Office with Cedar and Boyer, and that was really fun.
We had a blast.
And I'm glad to see your beautiful Gretsch guitar in your hand, so we'll get to hear some of your own songs live here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. But first, we want to know all about your songwriting career. So here's the questions, and here we go. And it's just a conversation.
Yeah.
So when did you first start writing songs?
I really probably started writing like my sophomore or junior year in high school, probably my sophomore year. And I think the earliest song that I remember, I probably wrote my junior year of high school. So it's been like 5 or 10 years now.
So let's journey back to that day or that time in high school or junior high school. And you said you remember the first song. Tell us a little bit about how it came about, why it came about. And I mean, it was so primitive probably, but
it was
it was your first endeavor.
It is. So it's funny. I was talking to Jen about this tonight. I, at the time, was not a fan or a patron of country music in any way, but the song sounds really country, and the impetus of it was I was listening to a lot of really cool music, and I was inspired by good music, and I had friends who were good songwriters, and I was not one, and songwriting was very elusive to me, and still, for the most part, remains pretty elusive when I think about you know, songwriters that I love, Marshall McLean, Josh Hedlund, and then of course, you know, national and kind of renowned acts. All that to say, I was inspired by those people. I wrote this song called Chevron Girl because there was a girl who worked at a Chevron station near my house who I had a huge crush on. And, had this sort of complicated non-relationship with, and the song's all about that.
It was all in your head, kind of, but
not completely. Actually, we went out once or twice, and it at some point became evident that she went out once or twice with probably most guys that asked her, and didn't have the heart to tell me she wasn't interested.
So really, she served a purpose. That first song. The Chevron Girl.
I did get the song out of it. I don't know that the song is good enough to say, you know, I got much out of it. But it was the first foray anyway, and it was, you know, it's one down.
There's always the first.
Yeah,
and there's always that first step in that direction, and probably haven't looked back a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. More than I should have, but not a ton, yeah.
A little country song called The Chevron Girl, that started it. So, you know, they say that 98% of songs are about love and romance, obviously, or heart-rendering attraction or whatever you want to call it. But not all songs are.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to, obviously, it was love for that song, to kind of get into music and writing songs, but music too, because you do play a lot of other stuff.
Excuse me. You know, it's funny. I grew up singing and just kind of in the bathroom and all the time humming and singing. My mom sang in church choirs. My dad occasionally, more my mom. And so that was always kind of a part. And then when I was about 15, I took piano lessons when I was younger. And it came pretty easy, but I hated it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like practicing. And then I got a guitar when I was 15 and had some friends show me some chords. And was playing for the church group, you know, little three-chord songs. And again, it just kind of made sense to me. And so then at that point, I kind of never looked back because it was fun. And I could kind of like play little simple songs, and the songs got a little more complex and more fun. And so, yeah.
How important do you think, since music was in your family, it was in the home, music education is for children nowadays or at any point in time?
I mean, I think it's huge. I can only imagine what it's like for, if that's not in the home, where else do kids get exposed to it? And I think having some handles to understand music and to discuss it and to even just enjoy it, those mm-hmm. handles really helped me too. Even the piano lessons that I hated so much gave me so much context to understand what I was listening to and now what I play.
You wonder about your children, Ani and Miles, mm-hmm. you know, living in a home where both parents are musicians, and where will they be?
Yeah.
With that much music. They go to your shows. They're there.
It's true, but it's also, it's just an influence. So like, mm-hmm. you know, Ani right now is playing a lot of piano and enjoying it. And Miles is just not really interested. He's been into drums from time to time, but I would be hard pressed to say that either of them would, you know, will pursue music seriously, but it's there anyway. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that they're not pursuing it, you know, we're trying to encourage other things too. But yeah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So mostly you write your music using a guitar?
Yeah, these days. Mm-hmm. Sometimes piano, mostly guitar.
So let's just get into the thought about your process with writing a song. Let's just say today, tomorrow, at some point in time, it starts happening. A song is happening. For some people, it's they sit down and there it is. For other people, it's a work in progress. And, mm-hmm. you know, they work at it in a different way. Why don't you share, in general, maybe you have many different ways you approach songwriting, but
cool.
your process.
Yeah, I mean, those. It's kind of the two ends. One, as far as work in progress, it's always about the lyrics first for me, because that's the part that's hard for me to write lyrics and kind of compile lyrics that I'm happy with and that I feel like are interesting enough and subtle enough and clear enough to kind of meet all those requirements. And it's that's the tough part for me. So the lyrics usually come first.
Is it a thought that the lyrics are formed around? Say you go out and you're canoeing down a river and you're inspired by nature. Is it usually a thought? And then you start working on lyrics that will express something.
Sometimes it's so like, sometimes it just hits. There was a song Used to Know that I'll play in a little bit that you mentioned earlier. Not on the air, but mm-hmm. When we were discussing before the show, that song just kind of hit. The lyrics had, you know, the theme kind of came together in my mind and it hit. And so I just pulled the bike over and wrote down a bunch of lyrics and it kind of flowed. And then there's a song, called Mr. Baldwin that was kind of the result of a dream. It was kind of the combination of a dream and some recent experiences that came together. There was a song called Spring that I wrote that was one of my early songs that was actually inspired by a scene in a movie. It had nothing to do at all with that, but just the cinematography at this, you know, 20-second scene inspired this song. So it's sort of, I mean, it comes from all different places for me, and letting that kind of be what it is important for my process.
Do you find that kind of putting yourself in a place, so you see a movie mm-hmm. and it somehow flows into you this idea that maybe the song doesn't have anything to do with it, but you open up something in yourself. I call it paying attention, but is that something that you cultivate or is it just part of you?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine it's both. I definitely think certain things come easier to certain people. I see friends of mine who I respect write songs, and it's just what they get is just, it just comes easier. But at the same time, they've also worked for years honing this. So whether it's working to hone a craft or working to kind of hone the ability to listen, or like you're saying, pay attention to the right things and know which things are worth paying attention to and which aren't. I think it's both. And I think, you know, it's just, it comes a little easier to some people, but I think, anybody can learn a craft. Yeah.
So the lyrics, the idea, the kind of theme of a song first, and then how does it go?
For me, yeah.
And then what's next?
Fitting music to it. So sometimes the music kind of comes at the same time with the lyrics. Sometimes there's a really clear meter to the lyrics, and sometimes there's a really clear feel to it too, which really then the only question is kind of where does it sit in the register, like how high or low do I want it to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other times where, like, there's been a few times when I've really wanted to write music first. Like, I've had like a musical theme in mind and wanted to write around that. There was I don't remember what the song's called now. I wrote it in college, but it was, the melody followed the, I remember now, it's a horrible song, but it's funny, but I can't play it on the radio actually, 'cause it was an angry song.
A college song, right?
It was an angry college song, but the melody followed the guitar line. Like, I just played a line that followed the melody and then had some chords in there as well. And generally speaking, like, it's fun to just play music and come up with chord structures or kind of musical structures for songs. But it's, for me, it's a challenge to put lyrics to those after the fact. So it's always a matter of finding the right fit musically after I have the lyrics.
Lyrics first.
For me, yeah. Mm-hmm. And because that's the hard part. It's like eating the broccoli first and then saving the good stuff for later.
You don't like broccoli?
That's maybe a bad analogy. I don't hate broccoli. But if I had the choice between, mm-hmm. you know, broccoli and quesadilla, I'd take the quesadilla.
Yeah, I understand totally. How about, I don't like to go too far into these interviews without hearing some of your songs. And then I want to get back to your voice and a little bit more about the process.
Okay.
So why don't you introduce your song, the name, kind of when it came about, where it came from, and a little bit of the process of how it came into the world.
Okay, cool. I'll do that while I'm tuning up here too. So I'll start with Used to Know, the song we mentioned earlier. And this one was, it was a song that was inspired and really kind of grew out of a process that I am still going through, probably, from being in a place where I, this is funny, with little context, being in a place where I felt very connected spiritually and kind of a lot of clarity in that way, to a place where I didn't feel that. And so this song called Used to Know, and it kind of grew out of that process. And this is the one that I wrote on Superior Street and pulled over and just kind of hit me. Used to Know. Trying to score, no idea what's in store. There was a time, vision clear, the only thing to fear was fear. Times have changed, more likely me. Headlights pass, starts to clear. There was a time I used to know. Now blindly, blindly on I go. The times have changed.
Stunning. That's the only thing I can say. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, your voice just adds so much, and I'm so glad you pulled your bike over that day and just got that song down.
Me too.
And the only other thing I can say is please write more songs. You have to keep writing. That was gorgeous.
That's so nice. Thanks, Susie.
Yeah. So this is 88.5 KRFY that you're listening to, a live broadcast of Between the Notes. My guest tonight is Justin Landis, and we're talking about songwriting. And have you heard the term prosody?
No.
In songwriting? Well, if you went to songwriting school, Holly McGarry has been at the Berklee School of Music, and one of her teachers, I went to a song school in Colorado, and one of her teachers talked a lot about prosody. He was there at the Colorado school. And that's where, and I think that's that song is a perfect example of prosody. It's where the idea of the song, the words and the story in the song match the sound of the song.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
With your voice going off on that trail like that, that was appropriate for that kind of a thought.
Cool.
So that's prosody right there.
Prosody, I like it.
Yeah. That's the technical thing. And you
know, take some notes here if you don't mind.
Yeah, right. A little schooling for you.
That's right. I'll take it.
A couple other questions. When you, obviously, you have a busy life, you have a day job, and you have a family. And do you set aside specific times or do you just write music when you can?
The latter, for sure.
Okay.
Which has resulted, I mean, I haven't written new stuff in a little while.
It takes a discipline to actually say, okay, daddy's going to go write some songs now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It takes that. And I haven't done a good job with that. There's a lot of ideas mulling over. So the good thing is that the spigot doesn't turn off. It just sort of backs up. So, so I just need to keep working it out mentally
Point in time in your life, you can do this.
Yeah.
And you say you're doing a great job as a father, and that's probably the most important thing you can do, and a partner and stuff like that. Who inspires you these days in the songwriting realm? Any other, out there, or is it just really an internal thing for you?
No, it's definitely, I mean, I would say it's certainly broader than musicians. That I get inspired by a lot of different angles, a lot of different things. Musically, I really and have been kind of a fan. I've been a fan for a long time and really inspired recently of Chris Staples, who I've gotten to know. He played here, and I love his record. I love his songwriting style. It's got a really casual feel to it and packs a punch. And I like that. It doesn't sound like it takes itself too seriously, but you can take it as seriously as you possibly can. I've been listening to a lot of Gregory Alan Isakoff. I'm really enjoying that. Big fan of Josh Ritter, big fan of Marsha McLean. Like, I love those songs. I like the story driven songs, and then I also like I sort of get caught between the more literal telling a story with music and then the kind of Wilco abstract words that sound good together. Mm-hmm. And when I get toward one end of that spectrum, I start wanting to be at the other end. So I end up kind of in the middle a lot. But
so inspiration is good.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's lovely.
How would you describe your musical style if you wanted to try to do that?
Man, I think with Cedar and Boyer, I would say it's sort of a maybe like a almost like a space pop or something, or space folk. I don't know if it really should have the folk moniker, but because it's just guitar and bass and some kind of auxiliary percussion, it somehow feels like the folky thing belongs in there in the stories. But yeah, I always struggle with that question.
Original music.
Yeah.
I just say that.
Hopefully.
It's
yeah.
The new way. Whatever you do is what you do.
It's something, right. Uh-huh. Exactly.
I just want to throw out that I've been interviewing songwriters for the last couple of years, and many of them, just so you know, after they come to Between the Notes and have their little interview with me, they get inspired to go out and do some more songwriting.
Cool.
Because they've
kind of had
a chance to explore it, and it just sparks. So just so you know, you may be going home to, or in the next bit of time,
great,
to do some songwriting.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think it's time to hear another song, Justin.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's do... this is one that we really never play as Cedar and Boyer. This is the one that was part dream and part experience. It's called Mr. Baldwin. Excuse me. Thank you.
Mr. Baldwin, he knows he's coming down. Mountain now. If he makes it through the trees, who knows?
Mr. Baldwin, and that was Justin Landis playing live here in the studios of KRFY on Between the Notes. I would say the words that came to me were profoundly simple.
Nice.
Yeah, I really got that song, and thank you so much for playing that. I feel really lucky to be sitting in a sound studio with music playing sometimes live. It's really fun. That's a pretty good example of just that simple, quiet gift, in a way. You know, it's a pretty simple song, in a way.
Totally.
But it was very profound. Yeah, I like that. A few other questions. We'll hear another song, and then we'll see what's going on. So this is kind of one of those bigger questions.
All right.
You just sit back and let your mind go to this thought.
Leaning back.
Lean back and relax. Where do you think music comes from?
Ah, interesting.
A little closer to the mic, though.
Sorry, again. That's okay. Stop leaning back. I think it's pretty built into the human experience and kind of the way the earth was built. I think that you know, we've arranged it in certain ways that make sense to us, but even our music obviously culturally is very different than a lot of other cultural music. And so I think it's something that's just a part of people and a part of probably just earth. You know, even thinking about how other animals use melody in certain ways. So I think, I just think it's sort of built in and we express it in ways that make sense to us at certain times. And yeah.
Some people grab onto it differently.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's more meaningful to some than others. And some can, it sort of resonates with more, but.
Well, I know there's certain styles of music that I prefer. I know when a song really hits me.
Yeah.
And that's always interesting to me. Why is that so? And someone else goes, I love this other stuff. And I go, well, it's okay. I mean,
totally.
Someone created it. But, and I was thinking today, you know, that like Beethoven, Mozart, those were classic.
Mm-hmm.
The classics. Well, I guess they call it classical music. Are we experiencing that now? It's obviously different. No one's writing music like that, I don't think. I mean, there might maybe concertos written and things like that by classical composers.
Sure.
But it's not at that same level that I know of.
Well, yeah, I think definitely people are writing orchestral music and they're writing instrumental music like that. I think at that time, that was the popular music. That was the music that was played in churches. And that was so culturally significant to what was happening then that if it was, it's what was played in churches, it's what people listened to. So that was really popular music. I think, you know, it's why we have classic rock stations, because they're songs that become, they get woven into the fabric mm-hmm. of what our experience is. And I think so much of that explains why a song that's meaningful to me is horrible to you, because there's something about that song that resonated with me at a certain time in my life or at a certain in a certain place, and it means something to me that it doesn't mean to you. Mm-hmm. And I think I for a long time, especially when I was young, and I used to work actually as a music pastor at a church, and it used to be very difficult for me to affirm some of the things that people like to listen to. And I realized at some point after, you know, kind of being snooty about it, that those songs, there are certain songs that are very meaningful to people for reasons that I just don't understand. And that's okay, because other people don't resonate with what I get. And so mm-hmm. I think letting music be a little bit mystical and being a little bit tough to pin down mm-hmm. From a preference perspective gives it some of the power that it has.
Another one of those questions. Why do you write songs?
Started out because I really thought girls were going to like it. I thought it was going to be, really a meaningful thing in that department.
That's a great answer.
And now it's just, there's something that, I just needs to happen. Yeah. Whether writing songs or not, I'm certainly composing. I sat down and I love to let Pandora run and sit down at the piano and play along with whatever's on. And then plenty of times it's nice to just pop